Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Sean, making that money green, with my partner in picks, Ryan, Big Dog Kramer. What's happening, Ryan?
Oh, not much, dude. Just counting my cash from last weekend.
Yeah, what'd you make big money on last week?
Well, I don't remember what I said my locks of the week were on here. I believe I said Carolina and Cincinnati, and I told you to parlay the two. They both came in, and my money line upset pick was Minnesota plus 250.
Yep, that was a good pick. I was feeling good about the Bears plus 13.5, which this was one of the crazier knock covers of the year. The Bears are down 17 points with like 2 minutes left. They're driving down in Green Bay. They have I think it was the Sanzenbaum. They throw a pass to him. He gets it down to the 10-yard line. And then Mike McCarthy ends up challenging the play, which was insane. There was no need to challenge. All it did was slow the game down. I don't know. He was, like, paranoid about letting up a touchdown. I mean, the game was over. Should have just let him score that garbage touchdown. Would have covered the 13.5. And then the Bears get stopped. It's, like, 4th and 6, and they kick a field goal. There was, like, a minute and 30 left. Why not just go for the touchdown at that point? I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, I think what really killed the Bears plus 13 was them getting the 2-point conversion, because then it opened the door for the field goal. If they missed that 2-point, they have to go for the touchdown. So that was just a shitty non-cover. I mean, it was actually probably the right move from the coach, but it just made it's frustrating when you bet the Bears.
Well, and it was obviously Mike McCarthy should have challenged it.
Oh, but there was Lovie Smith kicking the
field. Oh. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I mean, at that point, it doesn't really matter one way or the other. May as well just try to, you know, you're playing your rival. May as well just try and score a touchdown. The season's over. I just think morally it sends a bad message to the guys, like, hey, we're not even going to try and cover this spread.
What's crazy is I saw the article. They're thinking about firing Martz. That's crazy. That team was playing really well until Cutler got hurt.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, early on in the season, they were awful because he was just stubborn and wouldn't leave a tight end or two in the block. And then once they just started giving the linemen extra help, Cutler was able to throw the ball, and they were really good. I mean, what were they, 7-2 or something?
7-3, and they were looking pretty tough to beat.
Yeah, I mean, of course the Eagles played them when they're at full strength, and they lost. Although that game, that was one of the – I mean, if Andy Reid does get fired, that's going in his highlight reel of why he should get fired, is that, I mean, they ran that fake punt, or it was one of those things where we give the punter the green light if they see something, and there was no one covering one of the gunners on the side there, and the punter, he's wide open, it's like a 4th and 4, he throws it over to him, and he just could not. It did not get anywhere close to coming to hit the guy. Like, it was a 4-yard pass, and he missed it by a good 3 yards.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You're on a football team, okay? You're a punter. I get it. You're not John Elway, but don't you have a lot of downtime as a punter? Don't you just happen to pick up the ball? And I feel like most straight guys could throw a football 15 yards, 20 yards, and at least be somewhat in the vicinity. It was pretty nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Or pretty upsetting injury.
Pretty awesome.
All right, let's take a look at the Week 16 action, Ryan. Starting off Thursday night, Indianapolis Colts. They can't be stopped, man. 2-game win streak at home. They beat the Houston Texans 19-16. Houston was laying 6 points. I felt good about Houston covering the 6 points. I thought that was kind of a fluke that Indy won that game. Or the game the previous week, but what happened here, Ryan?
You know what's great about Indy winning this game is now that the players are going to have to answer questions all week about whether or not they really want to win this game, this Week 17 game. Because now they're in danger of losing the number one pick, which would be hilarious.
But now Minnesota won as well, right? So who else is battling it out for them?
St. Louis is sitting there with 2 wins also.
Oh, wow. Then it goes to strength of schedule.
I believe Indy has the tiebreaker, but
yeah, I don't know. So it sounds like is it still Andrew Luck full speed ahead? What happens if the Rams get the first pick? Is Indy going to have to trade him?
It sounds like the So it's, although Luck hasn't officially declared yet, it sounds like he's still the first pick. And if St. Louis gets the first pick, it depends, because now there's rumors saying Josh Gruden is going to get hired there, and he's really high on Robert Griffin III. But I feel like if you're St. Louis, you got Sam Bradford already, who's probably as good, if not better, than Luck and Griffin III. You gotta just trade and just get a shitload of picks, because you suck at a lot of positions.
Yeah, I think the upgrade of getting Andrew Luck or Robert is probably not worth, you know, sacrificing all those picks or whatever you'd be able to get. What do you think you could get for trading the two spot to the one?
See, I think this year especially, you can probably get, even if it's the two to the one, you can probably get it. Like I bet you that trade is like the first and third pick for St. Louis. And then whoever's if it's Indy trading, it will be like their first and third, and like a second next year, or maybe even more than that. It feels like their best bet is to trade with someone further down and just get more picks.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting, and especially Barkley not coming out. I think that, you know, makes that pick that much more valuable.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep it moving here. The Denver Broncos went into Buffalo and got shellacked. Bills, 3-point dogs at home, and they covered. Well, I mean, they didn't have to cover. They were getting points, but they beat the Broncos 40-14 at home. Tim Tebow, 4 interceptions, couple pick sixes. Ryan, is this the end of the Tim Tebow year?
Yeah, I love how – yeah, I mean, I would
say – it's funny, like 2 games into him losing, people are like – but Denver still has a really good shot to win the division.
And to be fair to Tim Tebow, he is 7-3 as a starter. He did throw 3 touchdown passes last weekend, 2 of them to the other team. But
yeah,
I don't know. I think this is probably the best thing for the Denver Bronco fans. They need to realize this guy stinks, and they need to address the quarterback situation. So I don't know. It's just tough. It's tough to rule the guy out because he's won some games, but I don't know. He might have had the luckiest 7-game stretch in the history of football.
Yep. And on Christmas Eve, man, they were interviewing him. They said he had 4 Christmas trees. I don't know why that really cracked me up.
It's just weird. He's a weird guy.
Well, he left some presents for the Buffalo Bills.
I mean, here's the thing. We really shouldn't be judging this guy for being weird because of his religion or anything. He got homeschooled. I don't know one guy who got homeschooled who is normal. They're just it's a recipe to be weird.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, regardless of religion, I think homeschool trumps it more than anything. Yeah, because there's something about just only living with your family that you need social interaction.
I mean, go through the history of time. Like, I'd say 1 out of every 3 crazy acts of violence were committed by someone who was homeschooled.
Yeah, I don't know if we have any data to support that, but that sounds about right.
No, we have no data to support that, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty close.
All right, speaking of pretty close, the Arizona Cardinals came pretty close to blowing up your Cincinnati pick, Ryan. The Bengals were able to hold out, covering the 4-point spread, 23-16 at home. Ryan, what got Arizona motivated in this game? I wasn't able to see a lot of this game. Give us a little recap.
This would have been a giant dagger. Since he was rolling, Arizona scored a touchdown with like 2 minutes to go, or I don't know, not 2 minutes to go, like 8 minutes to go. And you're like, okay, whatever. They got a touchdown. No big deal. Actually, it was 11 minutes to go in the quarter. They kick it off, and boom, second play, Cedric Benson fumbles. So you're like, all right, it's 23-7, not a big deal. They score another touchdown with like 7 minutes to go. It's like, all right, not a big deal. Boom, kickoff, Cedric Benson fumbles again.
Wow.
They hold him to a field goal. Cincinnati, it looks like Cincinnati should be able to run out the clock. They don't. Arizona gets the ball back. They drive down to the 50 and they drive down to like the 20. And they end up not scoring. But there were a couple crazy plays. Like the Arizona receiver fell down wide open in the end zone. It was a weird game from Cincy. They were dominating the game for like 4.5 quarters, and then they just let up.
Here's the thing. Do you think, is Cam Newton still the rookie of the year?
I think he'll probably win it, but I don't think he deserves to win it.
Yeah, I feel like you got to give it to Dalton. If he takes this Bengals team to the playoffs, which they already locked up a playoff seed, right?
Yeah. They have to win. They have to, or they don't have to win, but if they win, they're in, and if they lose and the Jets and Tennessee lose, they're in.
Yeah, I feel like you got to give it to Dalton. I mean, he didn't – it's not like he had a ton of help. Obviously, A.J. Green had a really good year, but, I mean, he's won them a lot of games. And the Bengals fans still aren't showing up. It's pretty hilarious. Like, they can't – I don't know what it is about Cincinnati. They are just – do you have any idea why these Bengals fans aren't showing up?
Are they not selling out either?
No, they're having trouble selling out. They're getting more fans for the University of Cincinnati than the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. At this point, it's almost becoming better to not go to games. I mean, you sit at home, you get the HD TV or multiple TVs, you watch multiple games. I think that's part of it. I think it's just getting to the point where it's so expensive to go to a game.
Yep. All right, well, speaking of the Tennessee Titans, they were able to beat out the Jacksonville Jaguars 23-17. In Tennessee, however, they were not able to cover the spread, 7.5. This is just typical of this Jacksonville team, just covering weird spreads. They seem to have, I don't know, this Jacksonville team seems to be all over the place, as well as Tennessee. Now, so Tennessee needs a win and some help to get in?
I think I misspoke. I think Tennessee needs a win and help. And if they lose, if Cincy loses and Tennessee wins, I think Cincy can still get in, depending on how the tiebreaker lays out. So, okay. Yeah, it's not looking good for Tennessee. I believe if Tennessee wins, but Denver loses, and Cincinnati loses, and the Jets lose, Cincinnati still wins the wild card.
Well, Tennessee doesn't deserve to be in the playoffs after they lost to the Colts team in Indianapolis. When you have, that's pretty insane. I don't think you deserve to be in the playoffs when you're losing to a Colts team in Indianapolis. I mean, regardless.
No, I would say Cincy is the most deserving of the at-large wildcard teams.
Okay, AFC West matchup, the Oakland Raiders, 16-13 in a really, really ugly game. Lots of interceptions here back. It was Kyle Orton versus Carson Palmer, and a guy's just throwing picks back and forth. Eventually, someone had to win this game, and it was the Raiders, 16-13. Raiders still holding on to a chance to win the division. They need to win and have Denver lose.
Yeah, which is pretty crazy. Here's another thing. They mentioned it during the game, and I thought it was pretty crazy that Carson Palmer has 15 interceptions this year.
That's pretty impressive.
That's pretty impressive for a guy who's only played, what, 5 games?
Well, I think 6 are to the Chiefs because he came in that first game, I think, and threw 4, and then he threw 2 in this game.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. He's actually played 8.5 games, but pretty impressive to throw 15 interceptions in 8 games.
All right, let's head over to the AFC East, where the New England Patriots were able to squeak out a 27-24 victory over the Miami Dolphins. Miami up big, and then, of course, let the Patriots back into it the second half. Felt really strong about this pick. Miami getting 9.5 points. They always play this New England team tough. I don't know what it is. This Miami team's fighting, man. But, alas, not enough to beat the New England Patriots. Patriots 27-24, didn't cover that spread. Any thoughts on this game, Ron?
They almost, it looked like Miami was going to win the game outright. They were forcing 3 and outs. They were dominating. And then not only did they blow the game, but they almost blew the cover. They were down by 10 in the late in the fourth quarter. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. For whatever reason, Miami seems to have these moments where they're able to hang with New England. Doesn't really make sense, but they're able to do it. Okay, let's the Battle of the Meadowlands. New York Giants beat the New York Jets 29-14. Jets started off to a nice start. They were up 7-0. Felt really good about the Jets beating the Giants, keeping the Eagles' playoff hopes alive. But Victor Cruz really broke the Giants back, the Jets back with a 99-yard. Ended up being from the Giants' 1-yard line, 99-yard pass. Really, it should have just been an 11-yard pass, but then two Jets dove for each other, missed each other, and then he just sprinted down the entire field.
No, that's fair. You cannot give any credit to his athletic ability to make that juke. But if you're going to bring up that, we should also comment on how the refs were really rooting for the Jets in that game. I mean, there were three turnovers that they overturned with, you know, less than disputable evidence. There was a tuck rule, like a weird tuck rule. It wasn't the typical tuck rule. It was essentially his arm was going downward, like he was throwing the ball at the ground. That was a really ridiculous call.
Yeah, I don't know. So what do you think? Does Rex Ryan, is Rex Ryan in jeopardy of losing his job at all, you think?
I think Mark Sanchez is in more jeopardy than Rex Ryan.
Yeah, I feel like.
And
Rex
I'm standing
Ryan's
by my prediction that the New York Jets will have the other Manning brother next year as their quarterback.
That would be pretty crazy. What do you think? Now, would they actually trade Peyton Manning, or would they just cut him?
I would think that they would. See, I think in order for them to trade him, they have to restructure that crazy $28 million bonus. So I would guess. I would guess they'd have to restructure and then trade so they can get something for him. I don't know. I think the Jets are one of the teams that would be willing to give up everything to get him.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. Maybe there's a few good Manning years left. I mean, obviously he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but also, yeah, those neck things are pretty crazy. I don't know, but you got to be a team like the Jets who are kind of close. And it would make sense, you know, really going for, I mean, if you're a rebuilding team, it doesn't make any sense.
That's why it doesn't make much sense for the Redskins. I know that they have a really good defense, but their offense seems like it's not quite there. I mean, I guess with Peyton Manning, it would be there, but.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it does make receivers look pretty awesome.
I mean, the Colts are 2-14 without, or 2-13 without him, so.
All right. Pittsburgh Steelers at home, 27-0 over the St. Louis Rams. I think the spread was around 14 points. Pittsburgh covered that pretty easily. This Rams team, if Josh McDaniels gets a head coaching job, this is insane. This Rams team cannot put up any points under any situation.
Yeah, it sounds like the GM, the head coach, the core, everyone's getting fired. It sounds like they're going to do a complete house cleaning and start from scratch. Rumors have it that if San Diego fires A.J. Smith, they're going to hire him in St. Louis and bring in John Gruden to be the head coach. And it also sounds like that Juan Castillo is going to go back to being an offensive line coach or at least some sort of offensive assistant or get fired, and they're going to bring in Steve Spagnuolo to coach the defense. If all of that happens.
Yep. That's what I'm rooting for. Okay, your upset special, Ryan, the Minnesota Vikings winning outright in Washington as a 6.5-point dog, 33-26. Real news from this game, though, is Adrian Peterson blown out ACL and MCL tear. Man, this Minnesota, things just cannot go right for Minnesota.
Yeah, that really sucks. More importantly, why is Leslie Frazier holding down the black man, Joe Webb? How is he not a starting quarterback?
The guy just wins games. It's insane.
Did you see his stat line? I don't know if it was at the end of the game, but at some point in that game, he was 3-for-4 with 3 touchdowns, I believe.
Yeah, I don't – he's like Skelton. They have a guy ahead of him in Arizona that's paid more that they feel like they have to – that they have to play. Or so I guess you got to – I mean, I guess at this point it may – but I don't know. Why not
– It's not like Joe Webb's old.
Yeah. Joe Webb, 4-for-5, 84 yards, 2 touchdowns, throwing, 5 rushes for 34 yards, 1 touchdown. So he ran the ball 5 times, threw the ball 5 times, 3 touchdowns. That's a 30% touchdown ratio.
Yeah, I mean.
How's that guy not playing more?
He's just this. He came in the game when they were losing and they won the game. So.
Yeah, that really makes no sense to me. I mean, I guess you spent a high draft pick on Ponder and you really want to see what you got, but you have Joe Webb. Why not see what you got with Joe Webb? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
All right, the Carolina Panthers shellack the Tampa Bay Bucks. This Bucks team has quit. Carolina 48-16. Carolina kind of surging as late. Covered the 7.5-point spread. Cam, another really big game. Carolina's defense, I guess, came to play against Tampa Bay. It's hard to tell. This Tampa Bay offense is so bad. What about What about Josh Freeman and Raheem Morris? Is that a dynamic tag team? You think they're done after this year? What happens?
I think someone they got to put Josh Freeman on the on a diet or something. He's going the path of Donovan McNabb, just getting fat.
He does look hefty, man. How does that happen?
I don't know. It sounds like they're not going to fire Raheem Morris, which seems a little crazy to me. That team, anytime a team quits, you got to fire the coach, right?
Yeah, although what, this is his second year?
I guess maybe you give him one more year. They do. It's a really young. It's the youngest team in the league.
Yeah, and he's a young coach.
Yeah, but on the other side, if Cam Newton does win the Rookie of the Year, obviously it'll be because he broke Peyton Manning's record. But also, I feel like that run he had in the Tampa Bay game kind of would be like the signature play, a 50-yard run where he stiff-armed a guy for the last like 15 yards of it. Did you see that?
Yeah. I mean, he's more exciting as a player, definitely. But you can't argue with the results of taking that Bengals team to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, the Bengals are 9-6. The Panthers are, what, 5-9 or 5-10?
I think they're actually 6-9 now.
6-9, yeah.
All right, Baltimore Ravens at home took care of business against the Cleveland Browns, but not covering the spreads. Browns are getting 13 points, Baltimore 20-14. I don't know. This, you know, it seems like one of these games where the garbage team late kind of hangs around, keeps it close.
I don't know. But, I'm starting to think Baltimore's a fraud.
Are you worried about Baltimore in the playoffs? They seem like a good team to bet against in the playoffs.
I don't know. I just – they don't – especially if they get beat by the – if they lose to Cincinnati this week and Pittsburgh wins and they get the 5 seed, I could totally see them going into Denver or Oakland and losing in the first round.
Yeah, if this Baltimore team has to go on the road, I like betting against Joe Flacco on the road.
Yeah, all day.
We saw what happened to them in San Diego.
He didn't look that good in the game against the Browns, to be honest with you. That game was as close as the score led it to be. I don't think it was a case of like a backdoor cover. I think Seneca Wallace is, you know, considerably better than Colt McCoy, and they were in the game most of the game. I mean, they were in the game the whole game, and Joe Flacco just – he's not a good quarterback.
Speaking of not good quarterbacks, Phillip Rivers did not look good against the Detroit Lions. Detroit won 38-10 at home, securing their first playoff bid in a long, long time. This Detroit team may be getting hot at the right time. I don't know. What do you think, Ryan?
If the Giants happen to beat the Cowboys this weekend, I can't wait to host the Detroit Lions. I don't know. What do they do good, Sean? Throw the ball deep to Calvin Johnson.
It does seem to work.
They don't do anything that good. They're like the best or the worst 10-5 team of all time, I think.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, their defensive line is pretty strong still.
But would you be scared to play that team for your team?
No, I wouldn't be scared of them. But the fact that Kevin Smith came back, I think, is kind of a storyline people are overlooking. Because if they just have a little bit of a run game, it gives them enough balance to kind of be competitive. I mean, this San Diego team needed this game they were playing hot. They need this game to get in the playoffs, and Detroit destroyed them. I think that's worth something. I don't know. They don't necessarily scare me, but I could see them winning a round one playoff.
So the craziest news of all of this is that Phillip Rivers was the third quarterback for the AFC. For the Pro Bowl.
In the Pro Bowl?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Now, to be fair, if you go through the AFC rosters, you can't really think of another guy. I mean, I would say Andy Dalton for sure. But it's pretty crazy he made the Pro Bowl. He was really bad for, like, I would say 10 out of the 15 weeks so far. Or even Tebow, right?
Yeah, why not Tebow? Fuck it. That'd be hilarious. All right, speaking of really bad, the Eagles beat the Cowboys 20-7. Tony Romo got banged up early, so they pulled him out because the game didn't really mean anything because Dallas is going to have to beat the Giants in New York regardless. So Eagles, nice win here. I don't know. Seems like some of these guys playing for their jobs. Hopefully the team finishes strong. I mean, it's kind of a shame. LeSean McCoy and Jason Babin both had career years and kind of all for naught, but they made the Pro Bowl, so I guess, good for them. Yeah, moving forward, I don't know. I don't see this. I mean, I don't see Dallas winning in New York. And if they do win, I don't know. See, that's the thing. I could see a team like Detroit going into Dallas and winning.
Perhaps.
What are your thoughts?
I don't know. I think whoever wins the Giants-Cowboys game will probably win their first-round game. And then they'll have to travel to Green Bay, most likely. But
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's going to be tough. Winning in Green Bay or New Orleans is going to be tough. Yeah, I guess if Atlanta or Detroit, if they're coming into town, I'm not high on Atlanta, but I think Detroit has a better chance of winning a road game than Atlanta does.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I don't know.
Atlanta looks really bad on the road.
I think Dallas is in trouble because I don't think you can let up for a game and then come back the next week and try. It just doesn't work. You see teams all the time rest before the playoffs, and it just doesn't work. I don't know.
It doesn't work. They're banged up. I don't know. I'd be surprised. You know, Tony Romo's hand. I'm sure he'll play, but it'll be interesting to see how effective he'll be.
Yeah.
All right. So head over to the NFC West, 49ers, 19-17 against Seattle. Seattle covering the spread. They're getting 2.5 points at home. Had a chance to win this game late. Tavares Jackson fumbled it away. I don't know. Moving forward, what do you think for this Seattle team?
I'd feel pretty good if I was a Seattle fan. They're definitely they're one of the top 8 teams in the conference right now.
Yeah, they're maybe. Yeah, you get a couple draft picks, but I don't know. It's one of those things. I don't see – Tavares Jackson still doesn't look like a playoff quarterback to me.
Yeah, I mean, him on the road is a little scary. I can't really argue that, but when he's good, he's good. The problem is when he's bad, he's bad.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do moving forward.
He's got a little Grossman in him, you know.
Yeah. All right, Green Bay Packers, 35-21. We talked about that game earlier. Covered the 13-point spread, 13.5, whatever. And the Monday night matchup, New Orleans Saints blowing up Atlanta Falcons, 45-16. This game was kind of close, especially in the first half, and then New Orleans just put the foot on the accelerator in the second half, covering either 7 or 6.5-point spread, whatever you got it at. And Drew Brees breaking Dan Marino's passing record.
Did you catch his post-game speech?
No, I kind of heard about it. It sounded pretty, like, hilariously lame. He's like, I want, people to be like, hey, I was the guy who blocked for that quarterback when he had the
highlight for me was he did that. He thanked everyone. He's like, I want you to remember this is the season you caught balls for that guy. And then he also goes, I want to thank the equipment managers for rubbing down those balls. And he didn't mean to be funny at first, but then he got a laugh and he realized he had said something funny. It was pretty amusing.
Good old Drew Brees.
I mean, the crazy thing is there's a chance that I believe there's a chance that Tom Brady could also break that passing record this year. Obviously, it's controlled by Drew Brees now, but I believe he is in range of hitting that mark too. He only needs like 150 yards or maybe like 200.
Oh, to break Marino's record?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, yeah, I guess now it's, like you said, it's Drew Brees. All right, let's take a look at Week 17 action. The Detroit Lions heading into Green Bay, where the Green Bay Packers are underdogs, getting 3.5 points at home. So, explain the playoff implications. Detroit and Atlanta can still go back.
I got it pulled up right here. That's pretty crazy that Detroit. Well, all right, so Detroit, essentially Detroit's clinched, and Atlanta owns the tiebreaker over Detroit because they beat them head-to-head. So if Detroit wins, they have the 5 seed. If they lose and Atlanta wins, they get the 6 seed, and Atlanta gets the 5 seed.
All right. That being said, I still like Green Bay getting 3.5 at home.
And Green Bay, well, here's the question. Does Green Bay start Aaron Rodgers, or does he play more than a quarter?
No, I think he'll play a quarter, stay fresh. But I think he can still put up 14 points in that first quarter. But also, I don't know. I mean, against this Detroit Lions team?
Yeah, it's – the I just don't get the idea of resting your guys. It never works. You have a week off. It's not worth resting your guys.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not in the second half. Maybe you pull them. I don't know. I think Aaron Rodgers plays some, but I don't think Matt Flynn at home is that. I mean,
no, he's solid, obviously, but I mean,
obviously it's a drop off from Aaron Rodgers, but I still like them getting 3.5.
I think some teams have kind of put the blueprint out there on how to slow him down too, like the Giants and the Chiefs, and you play man coverage, and if you have a defensive line that can get after the quarterback, you have a shot. And especially,
yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, Chicago kind of has a team that can get after the quarterback, and he's still – I mean, those offensive linemen that were banged up, the replacements came in, played good, and, you know, he's still got a ton of time.
Here's the big difference with that game, Sean. They did keep them in the game. If Chicago had an offense, they probably would have been leading a lot of that game. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. They were able to run the ball. They just couldn't keep up once Green Bay really started lighting them up.
Yeah, I think that's where you see, you know, Detroit or a Giants or any other team could put up more points and make that. I mean, Green Bay only put up, well, they ended up with, what, 35?
Yeah.
But, I don't know. This is one of those games you really should just kind of stay away from. I feel like Detroit's clearly going to win this game because Green Bay is just going to pack it in.
Yeah, this is a tough game.
A lot of tough games like this week.
So you like Detroit?
Yeah, I'm going to take Detroit just because it's hard to take. I mean, if you're Detroit, you probably want to get the 5 seed because you'd much rather go to New York or Dallas than probably New Orleans. So.
Yeah, that's it. Well.
Because as of now, San Francisco holds the tiebreaker over New Orleans. So if they both win, New Orleans is getting the 3 seed.
All right, well then let's move on to the next game here. I like Green Bay just because I don't think the teams don't understand to play hard for seeds. I mean, they'll play hard because it's a division game, but that's why I think almost why Green Bay plays hard too and keeps it close at home. Okay, the San Francisco 49ers heading into St. Louis, laying 10.5 points. Man, this is tough because you got San Francisco who just loves to kick field goals and St. Louis who just loves to not score. I'm going to have to take San Francisco laying 10.5. I just can't pick the St. Louis team. You got to give me 14 points. I know San Francisco doesn't put up a lot of points, but, I mean, just the St. Louis team is complete garbage. Everyone knows. I mean, this entire team knows they're getting fired. San Francisco is at least playing for that first-round bye. I think they're much more motivated.
Yeah, they got to win the game. This goes against my rule, but look what Pittsburgh did last week with Charlie Batch at quarterback. So, enough said.
Exactly. All right, moving over to the AFC East. Miami Dolphins at home against the New York Jets, laying 1.5. Oh, man. I'll go with Miami here. This Miami team's feisty, man. They've been playing hard. I mean, they played hard against New England. I think they come back to Miami. They're going to play hard against the Jets. Sanchez on the road after really laying it. I mean, Mark Sanchez really... He just cannot move the ball downfield. I don't know what it is. He's got that Kevin Cobb disease. He's just afraid to throw it downfield. There's no confidence. And even the short passes, he messes up. I think Matt Moore is actually a better quarterback right now than Mark Sanchez. So give me the Dolphins.
Yeah, I'm with you. I really like the Dolphins this week.
Okay, AFC North matchup. The Chicago Bears heading into Minnesota, or Minnesota Vikings are getting 1 point at home against the Chicago Bears. Oh, this one's pretty tough, man. I could see it going either way, and that's why I'll go with the Minnesota Vikings at home. You're getting 1 point. I don't think it really matters much, but I don't know. What are your thoughts, Ryan?
Well, I'm just reading that Leslie Frazier suggested that Joe Webb is making a strong case to be the Vikings quarterback of the future. It's about 16 weeks for you to figure this out. Yeah, and it sounds like Ponder had a concussion, so he probably won't play. So I'm taking Joe Webb and Toby Gerhardt and the Vikings here.
Yeah, I mean, not that McCown looked that bad against Green Bay, but well, like we said earlier, this Joe Webb guy, he just knows how to win games.
And Minnesota's going to get a much better pass rush to this game. I think their front seven is much better than Green Bay's front seven.
And at home, this is kind of their Super Bowl, really. I mean, it's a division game against a rival at home. So, yeah, I think they show up here. Chicago just lost a chance at the playoffs last week. I think they're kind of deflated going on the road. It's hard to get up for this game for them. Okay, the New England Patriots at home, laying 12 against the Buffalo Bills. And now what's New England's playoff implications?
New England is, I believe they've clinched the first round bye. Yeah, they've already clinched the first round bye. So they basically, if they win, they get the number one seed. If they lose, and Baltimore or Pittsburgh win, then they get the two seed. So basically, they're locked into a home, locked into a first round bye, and they, with a win, they clinch the one seed. And if they lose, Baltimore or Pittsburgh needs to win.
All right. So now that we got that straightened out, I like New England laying 12 here. Reason being, the Patriots got embarrassed by losing to Buffalo in Buffalo. I think they're fired up. Obviously, they're playing for that number one seed. Belichick not afraid to run the score up. I like New England big here.
Yeah, this is tough for me. It's they're playing. They're not going to know if how Baltimore or Pittsburgh did, so they're going to want to win. And I will say this is probably a game you want to bet the over on because I don't see either defense doing too much in terms of stopping. But yeah, it's tough to lay this 12 points here. It's just it's a lot. I'm going to take Buffalo. I have no real reason other than I just think.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot for a division game.
This is a class division game here.
Yeah, I can see that. My only argument against it is I don't think they're going to put up points as much points as you would think. Because I don't know, man. The Buffalo Bills offense is really kind of crap to bed. With they put up 40 against Denver, but that was almost all based off turnovers.
And then one of them was a punt return, so they really only put up like 17 points, I think, their offense.
Yeah, and that was with the help of some of those turnovers. So I don't think they're going to get those turnovers. I think on the road they kind of lay down at some point. Okay. Wow. Looking at this line, this is easy for me. Carolina Panthers at the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans get 9.5. Give me the Carolina Panthers. I like Cam Newton in a dome. He seems to, it just seems like a good scenario for him. 9.5, I think, is a lot for this Carolina team who's been playing pretty hard as of late, coming on strong. I know New Orleans will be firing on all cylinders, but I think Carolina keeps it within one score.
Yeah, so Drew Brees already got the record, and New Orleans is basically locked into the three. I think they realize that San Francisco isn't going to lose to St. Louis. And Carolina's they're in like the category with Miami of teams that have nothing to play for that are playing really hard right now. So I'm with you. I think the spread's probably right. I thought it would be somewhere around 8 or 9. I guess 9.5 is a little more than I thought. So yeah, let's take Carolina, get a little backdoor action there at the end of the game.
Yep. All right.
I would say Carolina has a shot to win this game.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And that would really lock up the rookie of the year.
All right, the NFC East matchup, the Washington Redskins heading into Philadelphia. Washington getting 9 points. 9 points, a little too high for me. I think NFC East divisional game. I like the Eagles to win this, but I think 9 points is a little too high for this Eagles team. Give me the Skins getting 9 points.
I love the Eagles here. They're playing lights out right now. They're one of the 12 best teams in the NFL right now, and they won't be playing postseason, so I think they're going to make a statement here, make a statement to keep Andy Reid around. They're going to win this game by like 28 points.
All right, you talked me into it, Ryan. I'm back as a believer of the Eagles. I had been not picking against the Eagles as a reverse jinx, but clearly that didn't work. So may as well just ride the Eagles late on.
The Football Outsiders have Philly as the with their weighted ranking, which weighs the more recent games heavier. They're the sixth best team in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really that worried about what Rex Grossman. I think they're going to sack him a few times. They don't have much of an offense. I could see Deshaun making a couple big plays, trying to get that big contract.
That audition for the Raiders.
Well, I heard someone saying the Patriots.
Oh wow.
I mean, you could totally see him being like the next Randy Moss for that team.
That would be really annoying because I hate when Belichick gets these assholes to play and like not and shut their mouth.
Yeah, but you could doesn't that totally seem to make sense?
Yeah, that's
that
not,
he would
that's
come in there like
to have him and Wes Welker.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess that's
and
the
those
blueprint
tight ends.
To beat him. But yeah, I mean, could you imagine if you had? I mean, that would be unstoppable because you could really stretch the field with DeSean Jackson. Then you have Wes Welker, you know, in the slot, and then you have those two tight ends. That would be unstoppable. Man.
I would love to see Revis just jack DeSean Jackson up, jamming him at the line.
Yeah, well, didn't seem to help help when the Eagles blew up the Jets 2 weeks ago. Okay, battle of who gives a shit. The Indianapolis Colts at the Jacksonville Jags. Indy getting 4 points. Oh, man. I'm going to take the Jags here. I picked against the Colts the past 2 weeks. I don't know, man. I feel like on the road, they got to lose, right?
I think you got to go against any team that has a coach that's about to get fired. I don't think Caldwell is going to keep his job, and I think it's hard for the players to come out fired up. I mean, it's one thing for their last two home games to come out fired up, but I think it's just going to be a crazy letdown. And I think this is crazy that Jacksonville's laying more than 3 against anyone, but I think Jacksonville comes out, and they have the one guy who still plays hard, and Maurice Jones-Drew probably has a huge day.
Tennessee Titans at the Houston Texans. Houston Texans, 3-point dogs at home. Sounds like Houston doesn't have anything to play for, right, Ryan?
Yeah, Houston is locked into the 3 seed, and there's nothing they can do. I mean, Tennessee's playoff scenario is kind of crazy. I mean, they need to win, have Cincinnati lose, the Jets win, and Oakland or Denver lose. So,
All right, I'll take Tennessee. It just seems like, for whatever reason, Tennessee will show up at this game. I couldn't give you a better explanation than that, but I think Houston, they've been banged up a lot this year, so I think they're kind of looking forward to, resting a little bit here and getting ready for the playoffs.
It's hard to take Houston. They have nothing to play for. So that being said, I'm going to take Houston. I think they need to tune up before the playoffs.
All right. All right. Makes sense.
And you never want to lose to a team that you would then maybe have to play the next week. I mean, because if Houston's the 3 seed, if Tennessee gets in, they'll be the 6 seed. So,
You know what? Screw this Tennessee team. I like Houston.
And they're on the road. And it's just, like I said, if Tennessee wins and gets in the playoff, they're going to have to play Houston again the next week. So I don't think.
Well, Tennessee's been a zigzagging team, and they scored. I mean, they won last week, so.
Time to zag.
Yep. I think they're going to zag. Okay. Wow. Another tough game here to call. Atlanta at home against Tampa Bay. Atlanta laying 13 points. So now Atlanta will still want to play hard because, correct? Well, let's see here.
This is what I don't – I thought the NFL was going to align all these games, but it looks like right now Atlanta is playing at the late – or at the 1 – they're the 4 p.m. Eastern time games where Detroit is playing at the 1 p.m. So if Detroit wins, Atlanta has nothing to play for. If Detroit loses, Atlanta can. If they win, they get the 5 seed, which I'm sure they would want. They don't want to get their ass kicked by New Orleans again. So I think this is a game you really, if you're betting on this game, you kind of have to wait. This is more of a bet on the Detroit game. If you think Detroit's going to win, I'd almost take Tampa. I think if Atlanta finds out they can't change their seeding, why? They're probably going to rest their guys.
Yeah, but Tampa's really, really bad.
That's true.
I like Atlanta. I mean, at 13 points, obviously the spread's going to jump a lot depending on the result of the early game. And who's Detroit playing? They got Green Bay.
Yeah, I like Detroit to win, so I'm going to take Tampa here. Even though it's Tampa, it's a big number. I'm just going to grab that and you know, hope Detroit wins and hope Atlanta rests their stuff.
Yeah, I'll go with Atlanta here because I think even Atlanta resting their guys at home might be able to beat Tampa by 2 touchdowns. I'm not kidding.
The fighting
Tampa, Dude, Tampa Bay is really bad.
Yeah.
And when a really bad team goes and plays in the Dome, I mean, we saw it with Jacksonville. I don't know if Tampa Bay is much better than Jacksonville.
No, I would say Jacksonville's better than them, actually.
Yeah, Jacksonville at least has Maurice Jones-Drew. I can't give you one stud on Tampa Bay right now.
Yeah.
Okay, Baltimore. Ravens at the Cincinnati Bengals. Playoff implications abound. Cincinnati getting 2.5 points at home. I like Cincinnati here, 2.5. That feels good to me. And more so, I just like betting against the Ravens on the road. Now, obviously, Baltimore is playing for possibly a first-round bye, correct?
So if Baltimore wins, they lock up at worst the 2 seed, and if New England loses, they would get the 1 seed. If they lose, and Pittsburgh wins, they become the 5 seed. So it's a pretty crazy swing.
And Cincinnati needs this win to get in the playoffs, right?
No, they can actually – if they win, they're in. But if they lose and the Jets and Oakland lose or the Jets and Denver lose, then they're still in.
All right. That being said, I like the Bengals here. I mean, we've talked about Joe Flacco and his struggles on the road. I think I like Cincinnati here.
Yeah, like you said before – when teams are just playing for seeding, it seems like they don't play as hard as if they're playing to make it. And I think Cincy's going to play hard because they, you know, they need to – if they win, they're in. I think they play hard. I think there's no reason why they shouldn't play hard. It just seems like – I wish they were getting 3 at home, but I'll take the 2.5.
All right. It doesn't look like that. I don't know, Ryan. Have you seen a line for this next game, Pittsburgh at Cleveland?
I have not seen one line for that game, so.
It's probably dependent on whether or not Roethlisberger starts. I don't know. If you're Pittsburgh here, I don't think you start Roethlisberger.
No. It sounds like he's going to get like 20. I think they said he's going to get like 20 snaps or something like that.
Okay, so assuming the matchup is Seneca Wallace versus Leftwich. I think Pittsburgh. Charlie Batch.
If it's Batch, I think the spread's going to be Steelers by probably
7.
I was going to say 6.5 or 7. If it's Roethlisberger, we're talking, you know, more like 10 to 13 points.
All right. Well, I don't think they're going to start Roethlisberger. That ankle looked pretty bad. I like Cleveland at home with Seneca Wallace. Touchdown and above, I'm taking Cleveland. If it's right at a touchdown, still like Cleveland. 6 and below, I'm thinking Pittsburgh. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I like Pittsburgh up to the same range as you. The thing is, if they really could use this bye, so I feel like they're going to try really hard to. Well, I guess you know they need to win the game. I don't know how decidedly they're going to win the game. But I think there's a legit chance since he's winning the game. I don't know. I think Pittsburgh wins. Their defense is really dialed in right now. I can't see Cleveland scoring more than 2 touchdowns. So it's going to be I'm going to take Pittsburgh. I'll take Pittsburgh laying up to 10 points in this game.
Okay. Well, I like Pittsburgh touchdown and less. That's what I'll go with. Okay. Another game packed with playoff implications. Kansas City Chiefs at Denver. Kansas City getting 3.5. Man. They know where to set these lines, huh?
Yeah.
Denver at home. Neat win and get in. Man, this is another game where I feel like Denver wins by 3 points. That being said, I will go with the Denver Broncos at home. I think there's a little bit of the magic left in that old Tim Tebow bag. And, I like them to cover here.
Yeah, I think we learned you just can't take – you can't take them if they're laying 3 points or more. Because they just don't win by a lot of points. I'm going to take Kansas City here. I like Kansas City probably to win this game outright. They're playing for Romeo Crennel. Let him keep the job.
Now, what happened they lost 16-13 at home against the Raiders.
Yeah, they're going to need to – you know, they beat the Packers, but I think one more convincing win or one more big win, and I think Romeo Crennel keeps that job.
Here's my thing. Late in the season, you're kind of beat up. You're banged up. You're going to Mile High. Mile High will be rocking, and I think the Broncos win here. Okay, Another game with potential playoff implications. San Diego Chargers at Oakland. San Diego getting 3 points. This just strikes me as a game where San Diego doesn't need to win. They're kind of a garbage team, but I think they win here. They're getting 3 points. I like them to win outright in Oakland.
And this is one of those games. Do they want to keep Norv Turner around? I mean, if Phillip Rivers wants Norv Turner around, maybe he tries, or maybe I don't know. This is tough. I'm gonna go. I think Oakland wins this game, and I think Oakland wins that division. I think Oakland is in the playoffs.
So that would be do parlay Oakland Kansas City money line, and that's probably a nice little payout there.
Count your chips later.
Okay, Seattle Seahawks at Arizona. Seattle getting 3 points. Seems like a pretty, pretty fair line there. Do we know who's starting for Arizona?
I don't know. I would assume they'd start Skelton. He's clearly better. If they do start Skelton, this is a classic case of one team that plays well at home and one team that plays awful on the road. So I think this is a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, Arizona is strong at home. They put up a fight against Cincinnati on the road.
Although, I'm just reading right now that Ken Wisenhunt said he considered benching John Skelton in favor of Richard Bartell during the Cardinals' Week 16 loss.
Really?
This guy...
How short is Skelton's leash and how long is Cobb's? I understand it's a little different, but goddamn, Skelton's been keeping you in games.
I think we need to start talking about Ken Wisenhunt losing his job. I don't,
Yeah, how has his name not got thrown around?
Well, they went to a Super Bowl, I guess.
Oh, yeah, I guess that was under the Wisenhunt era.
It changed the culture, Sean.
Okay, and the last game, the only seemingly one of the meaningful games in the NFC East, or in the NFC, rather, to decide who wins the NFC East. Dallas at the New York Giants. Giants, 3 points. Gotta take the Giants here. I don't know why. I'm kind of surprised Dallas isn't getting 3.5 or 4. Maybe that's just from people hammering Dallas here.
You'll be really surprised to hear that this spread's just jumped to 2.5 at most sports books.
Wow.
So,
I don't know. I mean, what have you seen from the Cowboys as of late that makes you feel good about them winning this game?
At the Hilton, it's 2.5. So, I don't know. I mean, it's like every week we decide to ignore the fact that Dallas can't coach to save their lives. I know their roster is probably more talented than the Giants, and I guess that's arguable, but I mean, I love the Giants match. I love the Eli Manning and the receivers matchup versus the Dallas defense.
Just look at Dallas in the second half here. Okay, they won barely against the Dolphins on Thanksgiving, lost to the Cardinals, lost to the Giants, beat the Bucks, and then lost to the Eagles. I don't see this team having any momentum to go into Meadowlands at a night game and beat this Giants team.
It rarely is the Giants Stadium not the loudest stadium in the league, but they're gonna be fired up for this game. And like we saw in Week 14, Brandon Jacobs and the Giants get fired up to play the Cowboys. They're gonna be angry. The defensive line is playing like they should have been playing all year, and the defensive backfield isn't very good. But Dallas has shown they can't really run the ball anymore. They just have Felix Jones and Sammy Morris, and I think you're going to see Romo getting hit a lot. I think Jason Pierre-Paul and Tuck are going to meet at the quarterback and tag team him.
Yeah, I don't know. Even from an impartial observer of the NFC East, or at least in this particular situation, I don't know. It's hard for me to think rationally about the Cowboys and not factor in my overwhelming disdain for them and their entire organization. But, yeah, I mean, they're really – they got that anytime they do a segment where a guy's like, yeah, I was just watching TV, and then the Dallas Cowboys called me up, and I'm starting running back for them. Yeah. Anytime you have a story like that, not looking good. And granted, Tony Romo wasn't starting the game wasn't that meaningful, but if this guy can't run against the Eagles at home, I don't see how they're going to be able to run the ball on the road against the Giants.
Yeah, it's just it does seem like the Giants' defensive line is firing on all cylinders right now, and the Cowboy offensive line, they just lost another guy on the offensive line. It does seem like a game, especially at 2.5. If this spread settles in at 2.5, this is like a classic 3-point line. I don't get it.
No, I think it should be 3.5. You should be getting a little bit for the Cowboys just because they're banged up. Who knows how Tony – I mean, it's on his throwing hand. So regardless of whether or not – I mean, I'm sure the guy's going to play, but that's still got to affect your grip. Like, I don't know. It does not make sense to me why it's not a little bit higher.
And I would love to take I'll take the over in this game. It's 46. Although this is promising. I just looked at the weather report, and it's supposed to be 35 with a chance of rain. So,
see, that's the thing, though. People look at the weather all the time for the over-under, but I feel like I don't know if there's necessarily a coordination.
I still like the over. What I'm saying is I think that cold weather is going to and the slick conditions not good for Tony Romo's hand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's – yeah, I don't – yeah, this really doesn't make sense to me, which is the only reason why I would pick Dallas, is that it makes no sense to me why the Giants don't win this game.
Well, that's when the Giants lose, when they're supposed to win. So
right, that's the only – that would be my only rationale for picking Dallas here, is that New York only wins games they kind of seem like they're going to lose, or just games that they should win, everything's prime for them to win, they don't win. So but I don't know. That's during the regular season. I think maybe they turn it on here one last time for Tom Coughlin. Well, that being said, I think if Tom Coughlin loses this game, he's I don't know, man. We'll see.
They're not going to fire him. They had the most they had more injuries than anyone in the NFL this year. They're not going to fire him.
Spin zone.
They had more games missed due to injury than anyone, Sean. No spin here. Although you want some spin, this at the end of the season is really starting to have.
Didn't stop the Houston Texans, Ryan.
They're really starting.
How hilarious is that? The first time the Texans are in, they do it without Mario Williams, Andre Johnson, and Matt Chubb.
Well, yeah, the Giants 2007 season, Week 16, they one long 85-yard run by Ahmad Bradshaw to kind of change the season and put them into the playoffs get them going towards the Super Bowl. So not going to say it was the same play, but that Victor Cruz play had me thinking about 2007, 2008. So,
well, I think it's they do get in. I don't know, man. I don't see winning in New Orleans and Green Bay. I feel like one of those would trip.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though. New Orleans, in round two, New Orleans would have to go to San Francisco. So...
Oh, that's right. So, I think of those teams, San Francisco is the – I keep thinking New Orleans is the 2 seed, but, yeah, I guess we'd probably have to go through San Francisco. I think San Francisco is much more vulnerable than Green Bay or New Orleans. I think out of those teams, definitely want to face the 49ers.
But, anyway.
All right, Ryan, it's the time. Give us your upset special and your lock of the week.
So my lock is definitely Miami. That's just take Miami. That's going to be golden. I think this Jets team, that line keeps moving too. It's moved all the way to 2. That team just isn't. The Jets are done. Miami's playing hard. I really like Miami in that game. And for my my upset money line, not a lot of good options this week. A lot of either really big spreads or really small spreads. So I'm going to stick with what we were talking about. I really like Kansas City. That's not going to be a very exciting money line. It's probably going to be like +125. But I'm going to go with Kansas City. I like Kansas City with the 3.5. You'll probably be able to get like a +165 on that. I think Kansas City wins that game outright.
Okay. For my for my lock of the week, I'll take the New England Patriots at home laying 12. Patriots, I think they go big here against the Bills. I like them they started off slow last week. I think they're going to be firing on all cylinders. And I think they're going to blow out the Bills convincingly. For my upset special, I don't know what the line is yet, but I like the Cleveland Browns at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers, assuming Big Ben doesn't start.
Wow.
It's a little, it's an upset special, Ryan. You know, assuming that that's based on the assumption that Seneca Wallace is starting and that Ben Roethlisberger isn't starting.
So
I think Cleveland shows up a little bit at home. Peyton Hillis has had his moments as of late, and gotta go with one upset, and I feel pretty good about that one.
Also, some pretty solid opportunities for a 3-team 10-point teaser here. Throwing
all right, lay some on us here.
You start with San Francisco and New England, and then you pick. So you're starting with San Francisco -0.5, New England -1.5, and then you can throw in, you can do something with the New Orleans-Carolina game, the Philly-Washington game. You got the Atlanta-Tampa Bay game, possibly the Pittsburgh game. I think your best bet is probably, although honestly, I even like taking Cincy +12.5, New Orleans +1, Philly +1. A lot of options here. Carolina +19. I don't know. What do you
think? Yeah, I kind of like Carolina +19 just because I don't know. I think
Cam don't quit.
He's good at scoring late, and even if New Orleans gets up that big, I think they'll definitely be playing in a soft zone that Cam will be able to take advantage of.
I mean, Atlanta -2 might be good too against Tampa Bay.
I mean, like you said, I could see Carolina winning the game outright before I could see them losing by 20.
Yeah, that's true. That's a tough one.
All right, Ryan, anything else you want to throw out there? You want to give us an update on your ping pong world?
You know what? Haven't played any matches. Played a little doubles yesterday for fun and got my ass kicked by these two Chinese dudes. Fucking good. It's annoying.
Well, that's, we'll have to start setting the line. Looking forward to next week, first round of the playoffs, in-depth playoff podcast coming your way. Log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Green Room Show. You can follow Ryan at KramerCentric. For Sean Green, he's
Crame Dog.
Crame Dog. All right. Let it ride.